God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. God is loving. And God loves you. God loves me. And God loves all of humanity. We know that because of everything that God has done throughout his word and through what Jesus did with his life and with his death and with his resurrection. And because of that, we can believe this morning that each and every one of us will rise up. We will rise up. We will rise up. Yes, we will. We will rise up. Yes. We will stand together believing in the power and the love of God. Yes, we will. And we are the power of God. We are the love of God. Right? And we are the hope of God. And we have that within us all to proclaim that good news. And sometimes you have to tell it to yourself. Right? Right? We all have to remind ourselves of God's power and might and love and peace and joy and redemption and the fact that life does go on forevermore, forever and ever and ever. God is great, and so are you. So no matter what we're going through, we will continue to proclaim the good news, the gospel message of eternal life for all humanity. And that no matter what we go through, we will rise again, right? We're going to go through it. We might get beaten down. We might get beaten up. You might feel so crushed, but we're not destroyed. Never destroyed. God transforms everything that was into something great and wonderful. And we're yet to see all the good that God is going to do in us and through us. So we have the truth today that there is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And for all those who have passed away, they've passed into a new life with Christ. And so we can rejoice in that today, can't we? Yes, we can. Have a seat, and we're going to look at the word this morning. And, you know, in light of everything that's gone on in the last week, last years, last month, last days, no matter where we are on our life journey, life continues to happen. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, right? All kinds of things can come our way in any given moment of time. That's why it's so imperative and so strong to remember that we have a Savior, a shepherd, a caregiver, a helper, a comforter, a God who loves us and will strengthen us and support us in our times of weakness and in our times of feeling our human condition. Of ourselves, we are powerless. With God, all things are possible, right? We know and believe that, right? Yes, we do. Now, let's go to the scriptures this morning, Luke chapter 9. And I'm going here this morning because it's a great reminder that God is a God of bringing us up always, right? We've been brought up throughout our lives, and we'll continue to rise up, spiritually speaking, all the time, correct? Right? Now, we might going to get a certain height as far as our physical stature is concerned, but if you could see me, spiritually speaking, some days when every time I overcome something or God helps me overcome something, I think I'm about 2,000 million feet tall in my spiritual walk some days, right? Don't you feel that way, that God continues to help you grow up all the time, right, and strengthen us and fortify us and prepare us for the next mountain climb we're going to take, right? We're always moving up, spiritually speaking, aren't we? Yes, we are. And let's go to this chapter, and this is why I'm saying this, because in Luke chapter 9, at beginning at verse 28, it says, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountain to pray. Now, what does that tell us? He took those Peter, James, and John up a mountain to pray. You notice that Christ is always leading us up. And he takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain to be by themselves. Those three with Jesus were isolated, if you will, from the rest of the crowd. Remember, Jesus, let me just tell you it this way. In the prior verses, Jesus had just predicted his death to the disciples. He told the disciples, Peter, James, and John included, that he was about to go to his death. So where's the next place he takes Peter, James, and John after hearing that awful news? Up the mountain to pray. You see the significance of no matter where we are in our life journey, no matter what is happening in our world or in our lives, whenever tragedy strikes, whenever evil tries to come against us, whenever something is predicted that's not great news, like the death of Jesus that was impending, right? We see that God brings us up to a mountain, solitary place, to be with God, away from all that stuff, and get our focus where? Back to God. Back to God. You know, when you rise above something and you look down at it, you're a little bigger than it, right? Am I right? Right? I know for those of you that are scared of little bugs that crawl around, what, must some of you actually jump up on a chair, right, to get away from it? But when you get away from it, it changes your perspective, doesn't it? Doesn't that little whatever it was get a little teeny smaller, right? I hope so, right? And don't you feel big and strong on top of that chair? No, you don't. Oh, well, gosh. Well, we'll have to pray for you later. That's okay. But not only, here's the biggest problem for those of you that have spider phobias or any other kind of little animal creatures like that phobias, because I don't do snakes, you all know that, if you ever, you know, whatever, or little mice or whatever that might be, whatever those things are that crawl around and scare us, right? Whatever they might be, right? When you're looking at it, what happens? You get afraid, right? In fact, oh, what's that roach doing over there? Oh. How easily that could scare you. But if you focus up and you look up at God and God's power and you say, God help me, save me from this spider. And you look up, right? And you focus on God. When you focus on Jesus, when your mind gets off of that thing that's scaring you, whatever it might be, the news, whatever you visualize, whatever you're looking at, whatever your focus is on, is going to continue to keep you in an emotional space, right? Sometimes fear, sometimes sadness, sometimes mourning. And sometimes, yes, we have to go through those times, but we can't stay focused on it. And that's why Jesus took Peter, James, and John away from the crowds, away from the prediction that he would die on the cross. But he also reminded them that he would rise again, right? He told them that. What do you think they were focusing on when he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die? The death. And he said, and in 3 days I will rise again, right? But these guys, these humans, they don't focus on the words of I'm gonna rise again. They focus on Jesus is gonna die. And so often when we see death occur in our lives, we have to focus. Yes, we feel sad for the loss and we miss those people, but we focus where? That they will rise again, right? We shift our focus. We shift our focus on God and God's goodness and greatness. And what can we do in the meantime to spread love and joy and peace, right? How do we rise up? By raising others up, right? You notice that Jesus took those men up on the mountain. He brought them. He didn't just go by himself to pray. He took those disciples as an example of we need times to go away with Christ. Away from the crowd, away from all the things that scare us or hurt us or harm us or all the things that this world doesn't offer us. Remember, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Where do sometimes we focus on? The tribulation, the trouble, right? Of course. But he said also these words, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Right? And all of it that it can do to us and harm us and hurt us. And it can do many horrific things. But Christ has overcome all that through his love and mercy and grace. And we will rise again, right? Right? Yes. And so he took those disciples up there to pray. How important prayer is at times for all of us when we go through something difficult or hear something difficult. And then while he's, and it says, and as he was praying, you notice who's praying? Jesus is praying. Isn't it good to know that we have Jesus right in the heavenly realms, right today, 24/7, all the time, praying for all humanity? He goes right to the Father, right? and prays on our behalf all the time. Isn't it good to know that while you're asleep, Jesus is praying for you, praying for me, praying for our world, praying for peace and love to come and grow, right? Praying for all of our hearts to be mended and for us to be healed and made whole again, and praying for us to do good in this world and overcome evil with good and love, right? That's what he's praying for. So as he prayed, look what happens. His face changed and his clothing became dazzling white. The power of God came upon him, didn't it? While Jesus was praying, right? And the disciples, right? Then it says, and then two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah were dead at the time, or not. How is it they appeared? They appeared with Jesus right before those disciples' eyes. How did that happen? Eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. And trying to show those disciples, because Peter had studied and known about Moses and Elijah, as we have too, right? God wanted to show through Jesus at that moment, Elijah and Moses are still alive. They were resurrected long before even Jesus was, because there is no death in God. There's only eternal life. Isn't that good to know? But see, these disciples needed to see that. So here's Elijah and Moses appearing and talking with Jesus. Just what in the world were they talking about? We don't know. It doesn't say in Scripture. Except perhaps maybe they were saying, wow, you're the Messiah that was promised long ago, that for the forgiveness of sins, you would die and rise again, and you would save all humanity through God's love and grace and mercy, right? No more burnt offerings, right? That went away. And it says the next verse, they were glorious to see. Wow. Listen, when you get into a time of prayer, when you really go alone to that mountain place, wherever that is, isolated from the rest of the world, and you go away and you spend time with our Lord Jesus, very often the Spirit of God will talk to you, like Elijah and Moses talked to Jesus, right? And it's glorious. There's a peace that is there in that heavenly realm where you kind of are here on earth, but also in that heavenly place. You know what I'm talking about? The distance between earth and heaven, it gets very, very close for those of you that have times of that kind of prayer where you're away, you're not thinking about, you know, all this other stuff that's bugging you. You're praying and you're in the presence of God, right? And your prayer becomes a time of silence even sometimes, because you don't know what to pray anymore. You've prayed the same prayer sometimes over and over. Lord, heal our land. Lord, bring your peace. Lord, help us. And then the Spirit of God comes, and it's glorious. And your face changes like Jesus' face changes, right? We go from that intense feeling of hurt and struggle and trying to do it ourselves and solve things ourselves and whatever we're feeling. Our focus is no longer on this earth and all of its concerns. It's where? On God and God's power, right? Right? And when you start focusing on God and you put your attention on God, what happens to you? Things change. Your heart heals. You feel a peace. You feel a sense of calm. You hear God say, I'm with you. I'm helping you. I will help you. I love you. You hear all that, right? And they were speaking, it says here, Moses and Elijah were speaking of how Jesus was about to fulfill God's plan by dying in Jerusalem. Now, isn't this coincidental that Jesus had just told those disciples that he was going to die in Jerusalem? And he goes up the mountain and prays, and suddenly there's Elijah and Moses, and they're talking about how Jesus is going to die and fulfill God's plan to bring resurrection. You see how there's confirmation there? So those disciples could begin to believe what? Not in Jesus' death, but that the plan of salvation for all humanity was going to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And we know it has been, right? Awesome. So in that prayer time that Jesus had with those disciples, the Holy Spirit came, ministered to Peter, James, and John above all, and spoke to them about God's glorious plan. What do you suppose the trip down the mountain was after that for Peter, James, and John? How do you think they felt? Were they a little more empowered? You think? I would have to think so. I know that times that I come away from prayer, I feel better than when I went into prayer, right? Right? When I get into God's presence, when I focus on God and God's goodness and God's love and not all the other nonsense that people are trying to say God is and don't know anything about God whatsoever. We know God is love, period, end of sentence, exclamation point, and so on and so on. I mean, three exclamation points if you want to, you know, and what do you put it in capital letters if you're going to text it, right? God is love, right? We know that and believe that. And because God is love and because God is powerful, we see in the example that Jesus understands that we all need times when we are feeling weak or small, times when things are predicted that are going to be negative, as Jesus had already predicted to those disciples, God has to come and through the power of his Spirit remind us of his salvation and love for all humanity. He did it for those apostles, those three up on the mountain, and said, Jesus is going to fulfill God's plan for salvation, right? And give them peace. That same truth is true for us today. That everything we are going through as a community and as a world and as human beings on this planet, God's plan of good, great, eternal life will be fulfilled in all of our lives. And we must continue to preach that good news to all people so that they too can have the kind of hope that we have, the kind of truth we know, and that they, those that are feeling beaten down and left aside, we can go to them and hold them by the hand and rise them up and say, wait a minute, that stuff that people are trying to tell you about you, that ain't true. God loves you. God wants you. God cares for you. So much so that Jesus gave his life for you. And I don't know about this, but you know what? Anybody who's trying to say where we end up in our eternity, they don't get to choose. They don't get to choose. They don't have control over that any more than they have control over their own life. Because the word tells us that everybody's going to die. Even those that think they know it all. And even those that think that they can judge. And even those that think that they can condemn. Guess what? They will stand before their maker one day and have to atone for what it is that they think they say who God is or God isn't. We don't need to worry about them. Because I know what Jesus did for me. He went to the cross. He took the beatings. He bled his blood so I could be saved and forgiven of all my sins, which I have many. More to come, I'm afraid to say, sometimes. Even judging those that are judging us. I don't know, that's a sin too. So see, I just did it. But I will stand here and still proclaim the love of God is greater than all my sins. The grace of God is greater than all my sins. The mercy of God is greater than all my sins. And it's because of what Jesus did for me, he proved it once and for all, what he thinks about me, you, and everybody else. He so loved the world, the entire world, the whole wide world, everybody in the world, so much that he gave his life, that whosoever believes shall be saved. And I don't know about you, I believe he did that. And I believe he did that for me, for you, and for all humanity. And he went through an awful lot of pain and suffering to prove his love for all of us. And who dares condemn us? Does Christ, who died for us? No. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor evil nor spiders or snakes, nothing, nothing on heaven or earth can ever separate me or you or anyone else from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you believe that and know that and those scriptures are within you and you hold on to them and you focus on them, when you see them and you look at them and remind yourselves of them, suddenly all the things that used to scare you get very, very small, doesn't it? Isaiah 40 tells us, Isaiah 40, I'm going to start at verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask God, the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? God brings them out one after another, calling each by its name. And he counts them to see that none are lost or have strayed away. If he's counting the stars every night, don't you think he's looking at you and counting you and looking at you and making sure you're not lost? Does he not know you by name? He certainly does. Because you're higher than the stars in God's eyes, right? O Israel, O America, O Christ the cornerstone, O world, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say God refuses to hear your case? Have you not heard or understood? See, we have to help people hear the truth. That's the part that's missing sometimes. That's why we exist as a church, so other people can hear the truth. Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. God never gets weary. We do, but God doesn't. So when you get weary, where do you have to lean? On God, who's stronger than you, right? We need a God. We need God desperately in these days. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. Is that us or? Oh, man. I mean, wow. When you start to carry the sorrows of the world on your shoulders, it's a heavy load. And we do feel each other's pain. We do. We're so empathetic. And that's a good thing. But it wears you out sometimes, right? But what does it say here? He gives power to those who are weak and tired and worn out. Even youth will become exhausted. Gives me hope. And young men will give up. Verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. In some of the versions it says renew their strength, right? But those who wait on the Lord, right? Wait on him, hope on him, believe on him, go up to the mountaintop to pray and get a hold of him in his presence. Focus on him. Direct your attention on him. For those of us that do that, we will find new strength. We will fly on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. We will rise up, right? We will rise up, won't we? We will rise up. But remember, you have to do the other thing first. Wait on the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Focus your attention on God. Direct all your thoughts to God, God's word, and God's truth. Look up to the heavens. See the stars and remind yourself that just as God counts the stars, you can count on God to count on you and watch over you and love you. And one day, one of us, or all of us, I hope, I don't know if you're going to be a star or whatever you're going to be in heaven one day. Some of you may be bright, shiny stars, but in the meantime, you're stars in the dark world today. In the darkest, darkest night, there is always a light. That's what the stars are for. They're for each and every one of you and I and all of us to be lights. Because Jesus is the light of the world, right? In him there is no darkness. And we have Christ in us. We, you know, sometimes you have to look up, but you also have to look within and remind yourself, hey, wait, Christ is in me. I have power within me, even though I'm tired in my human sense. Wait a minute. Hold on. I've got Christ in me. I can walk and not be weary. I can run and not be faint. I can fly like an eagle above the fray and rise above all these circumstances and then look down and see something that someone needs and swoop down and give God's love and mercy and grace. Drop a gift of love upon each other, right? That's who we are as a church, and that's who we are as a people of believers. So tomorrow when you start to think about some of the things in your own personal life and the life of our world and the life of our community, and we're reminded too much of all the pain and the sorrow and the suffering, be a light out there to someone. Put something out there on Facebook, on Twitter, on all the whatever the things are out there on the social media. Put something good out there about God's power and love for all humanity. We will drown out the voices of hate with the songs of love and peace and how we treat each other, right? And you might just show up after you've had that time of prayer. And it's a glorious thing, and you're full of that Holy Spirit, and you go into your workplace or wherever you may go, and that light inside of you is shining so brightly, you might heal and help another person who's lost. That's the power of love that will overcome all these things that we're faced with in our life existence. So tomorrow, or maybe today, or whenever it happens, as thoughts come your way to try to scare you, as things that you might see out there that are hurtful, because evil is still going to exist until Christ comes again and abolishes all evil. If it does happen, remember to go to God and the mountaintop experience, rise above it, pray, pray, pray. And then be filled with the truth that those who wait upon the Lord, we will renew our strength. And it's the power of love that will always conquer the power of evil. And we will rise up in all circumstances and prove that to the world, one person at a time. Amen.